Well, good morning. Hopefully we can hear. Good, good, good. So as Michael said, my name is Carl Tostevin, and I work in the Application Services Group. How many here is this your first PlugFest? Show of hands. All right, so not a ton, but a fair number. To kick things off, I kind of thought it would be worth it to step back and, you know, sort of say, hey, you know, why are we here? What are we really trying to do? Because I think I was talking with the team, and we were sort of like, how do we want to kick this off? And one of the things they said was, you know, there's a question we get a lot. It's probably one of our most asked questions. And I think they, in the rude Q&A, would call it, like, what's the catch? Like, why is Microsoft spending all the time working on this interoperability thing and putting on the seminar and spending a bunch of time and everything else? And, you know, what's in it for Microsoft, as well as, like, why is it important? Why do you care? And so in preparing the talk, I was trying to think back, and it's funny, I'm dating myself here, but my first job at Microsoft was I worked on Excel 2, and I was working on the compatibility of Excel with Lotus 1.2.3 2.2, if anybody remembers that. And so it was all the excitement of, you know, working with loading and saving files with 1.2.3 and making sure that the keystrokes worked the same way in Excel if you went into the right mode, and verifying that we could actually run those keystroke macros that were like slash DQF, you know, garbage characters you could never figure out. And it's funny because I realized that even back then, like, that was one of our first pieces of really thinking about interoperability, and in that how will we interact with files and data from another another company and be able to work on exchanging data back and forth. And if you think about it, over time, Microsoft has done a lot about interoperability, and at times we've done better, and at times we've done worse, but I think that it was finally in 2008 when we published the Principles of Interoperability that Steve Ballmer helped initiate, where we really got serious about saying, look, we've got to treat this seriously because it's critical that we're able to work with the rest of the industry. And I think that a thing that it's always good to remember is no one can exist in an island, especially these days when you look at how technology works and how interconnected everything is. And certainly one company, even as large as Microsoft, cannot fulfill all the needs of the customers that we have in the world today. And we need, in order for our products to actually remain relevant and continue to be useful, to be able to have them interoperate with other pieces of the industry, thereby managing to solve actual customer problems fully. Even as generic as the Office products are, they still need specialization, different pieces, different components that will solve particular needs. And in that light, what Microsoft gets out of this is twofold. We remain relevant, but also it allows us to have our products be used with other products, which means that it's good for everybody's products. And interoperability is a weird thing because it actually benefits everybody. It benefits us because it allows our products to exist both as a platform as in pieces of solutions. It hopefully benefits everybody in this room because the products that you're working on, the solutions that you're trying to architect for customers, are critical for the overall industry to continue to work, and hopefully then you're able to also provide products that are relevant for customers. And finally, it benefits customers, because again, we can't solve everything alone that customers need. We need your help, and ideally, we need to provide the tools that allow our customers and your customers to be able to get what they need out of this. So I'm excited to be involved in just the overall interoperability effort, and I've woven in and out of this area, and it's great to be back here to see all of you today, and I'm impressed. I was sharing with Hector and Michael that this has really grown over the past few years. When I first started, it was like 10 people at the PlugFest, and it would be a couple days, and now I look at a full week with an overflowing room, and I'm like, wow, this is impressive. So thank you all again for being here. It's great. I want to talk a little bit about what we've been doing. Assuming my clicker goes. Come on, big fella. There we go. Obviously, our flagship products right now are Office 2013 and Office 365, both the sort of, you know, on-premises software that everybody's familiar with, as well as our service. We think that we provide some of the best productivity applications and products that are out there, and we like to have them, again, be used in a sort of cross-platform and way that really benefits our customers. When you think about interoperability, you can break it down into three sort of sets. The first one is standards. Standards is, you know, generally around our file formats, and it's the lifeblood of being able to exchange data back and forth between our productivity apps and all of the other solutions that are out there. And you can see some of those there. We'll talk a little bit about that. Interoperability, basically how do the protocols move back and forth? How do we talk between things? How do we talk to the other different pieces? And finally, documentation, which is if you have the first two, you kind of have to tell people about them, and the third is how you manage to do that. So those three areas sort of put up the three-legged stool that I would say represents interoperability today. It would not surprise you that Microsoft thinks of our best productivity solutions as being Windows-based. We like the Windows ecosystem. We feel pretty passionate about it. But we can all argue that at no end ad nauseum in the press, as I've learned on Slashdot or any number of sites. However, I would also say that we feel it's important to be best in class across devices. It turns out that customers like to use a variety of different ecosystems and devices. And we realize that we have to be present in all of them. And to that end, we've seen a great move in the industry and in Microsoft to try and be more agnostic to platform. And especially in the Office team, you'll see that we have renewed our commitment to work across platforms because we think it's important that our platform is available across all the different devices that our customers use. So we're excited in March to open up and ship out Office for iPad, which was a new product for us. It's been met with great success, and we're excited that customers are using it. You'll also find that our Office mobile applications exist across iPhone, Android, and Windows Phone. This, again, while not considered classic interoperability, is important if we think that we're going to have the platforms that people are going to use to be able to move data back and forth and cover all of the different things that customers want to do. Turning to document format standards, it's surprising when you look at the list of how many standards bodies that Microsoft now either participates in or in some cases shares a leadership role in sort of scoping out what document format standards look like. Whether it's our native OpenXML formats, whether it's ODF, whether it's even PDF, the goal of having these represented as ISO standards is to make sure that we're allowing people to leverage data in a way that they can be confident that both everybody is adhering to and that it will be available for a number of years. One of the biggest comments we had in the past on file formats was that if you don't put data in some format that we understand and are able to work with, then it feels like you're locking our data away. So we've really worked in trying to participate with the community to make sure that we allow our data to be exchanged across a variety of different places and allowing people to know exactly how it's going to be stored. So you get the feeling for how many organizations we're working with here. In terms of interoperability, when you start thinking about how you work together, again, it generally comes down to how do we exchange the data and how do we talk amongst the different components. And so you think about all of the different products we have, whether it's Link, whether it's SharePoint, Exchange, the clients, and so on, Windows, SQL. We want to be able to talk between those and really have the ability to exchange data across and use different components to serve different needs. So all of this is about trying to make sure that we're able to use the technology that you all are interested in working with our technology effectively. And that, again, gives everybody a greater opportunity to use the marketplace. One of the biggest pieces we did here is we're continuing to invest in Office Online, which is you can expect to have a productivity experience across many different platforms, generally web-based without having to do a big client install and be able to work with things. You'll see we have a couple sessions over the course of the week involving our WAPI platform, the Web Application Open Platform, that allows us to front different documents from different stores with our productivity applications. So if you're interested in that, as well as the, I love this one, FSSHTTP, File Synchronization Protocol, which also works with co-authoring and being able to co-author in files and so on. So I'd point out those as being interesting sessions for those of you who are interested in the file formats. The funny thing is documentation, and this is always the amazing one to me, given how much of a store of documentation we've put together for our protocols and file formats. We are consistently working on this. The developers often call the documentation efforts. So when you think about what we have to do, as we've grown bigger and bigger, there are all sorts of things we call horizontals, which are things that regardless of what you are writing, whichever feature you're working on, you have to consider, is it accessible? Is it global? is it and documented? Are the protocols that I've introduced put into place? And it's actually one of the things that we find when people first come to Microsoft that they're always astounded by, because they're used to coding in a vacuum and all of a sudden realize, oh my gosh, I have to worry about hundreds of languages and think about, you know, all of these different support areas where we have to be able to take care of different hardware and things. And so being able to document is yet another thing that our developers have to consider whenever they're writing new software. What are the protocols that you use, and how do we capture them all in a way that we can make sure that we document them appropriately for everybody to be able to use? So the effort we have is fairly comprehensive in terms of what we put together, because even after the developers identify the protocols, it turns out some of our developers are not the best grammarians, and so we have to run that through the user assistance group to be able to actually make them readable. And then we also have another group that will go through, and then once the documentation is created, validate that the documentation in fact works before it ever gets to you, and actually try to develop solutions on top of what the developers have written to be able to make sure that the documentation works for that. This is just a tremendously sizable effort that, if you look 10 years ago, was not a high priority for us, and these days we're just constantly working on making sure that our documentation is best of class and allows all of you to be able to develop on top of it. So those three pillars really make up what we consider our commitment to interoperability. And if you look at what they've developed over the past few years, it's a pretty amazing list. We've done over 30 of these sorts of events. It's covered over 200 companies, 1,300 different people, 900 different specifications with over 50,000 pages of documentation. And I would add that, you know, in the grand world of services, one of the things that we've been working on is, as we actually watch the documentation in terms of what's being used to help us be able to prioritize where should we invest further. So when you access our documentation or download it and we track the number of downloads and things, so we actually can tell how much documentation is being used, and that helps us know where we should invest further, as well as events like this where we can get more feedback on, do we have the appropriate documentation? Is it of high enough quality? Are we able to respond to the needs that you have? As well as that helps us know what investments we need to make for the future. Our support team is around. They're 24/7. We don't charge for it. And we have 11 engineers that are totally dedicated specifically to interoperability, which actually means that while many other engineers are dealing with the technologies that we use and work on, we have some that are specifically focused on the needs of people trying to work with our software. And finally, tools. Beyond the documentation, we also have a number of different tools that will help people implement on top of various protocols and file formats. And we'll be announcing some new ones today. But over 200 of those 900 up above actually have some sort of tooling involved with them to help people implement on top of our protocols. So when you step back and you look at this investment, it's quite sizable for us. We spend a lot of resources in trying to make sure that we have appropriate platforms and documentation for people to be able to use. So this event is yet another one of those forums where we're able to start really working and making sure that what we're providing is useful. So new test tools. I'm going to let the guys talk about all the interesting things that we have cooked here. But you can see everything from new test suites that will allow you to work with protocols in Exchange, like the RPC and ActiveSync protocols, all the way down to various tools to watch how traffic is going, parsers that will make sure that your network traffic is appropriately being exchanged back and forth, and how well things will work. There's 5 days worth of sessions, so hopefully you'll be able to get deep into some of these, and especially the ones that are most important to you. But that leads me to my final point, how to plug Fest successfully. The first thing I would say is, help us help you. We really do want these events to be useful, well attended. Clearly we're doing something since we're having more people than we did before, so that's good. But the fact of the matter is, our main goal in this is to make sure that what we're spending our time on is the most useful to those of you who are working on top of our products. The people who tend to get into the operability space, as you meet them, you will find that they have a vested interest personally in seeing people able to use our software to do cooler things than it could before. We love doing our own stuff, but it's even cooler when we can create an ecosystem where things work well together and really solve solutions that we never thought could be done before. So, please give feedback throughout the week. Was this useful? What could have been more useful? Could we have more parking? perhaps the weather could be better. You know, important feedback like that. But really the idea that what are the things that we could provide? What are the things where you have found places where we're lacking? Because we do have resources that we spend on this, and we want to make sure that we're spending them appropriately and on things that matter to all of you. You can expect great contacts not only with the people who are primarily in the interop area, both in terms of our engineering groups and our support teams, but also the product engineering team will occasionally drop in. You'll probably meet with some of them as well to be able to talk with them to understand what we're trying to do and how we're trying to enable it. And finally, have fun, which always feels funny when I'm talking about like the areas of protocol and file formats because they can be a shade dry. But I noticed that people who get involved with it, and as I said, after I did 1, 2, 3, then I worked on verifying file formats in the Excel Calc engine, and it's hard to find people that you can engage in a sort of standard conversation about the intricacies of data structures and file formats. You just don't find that on the street very often. But at the moment, you are surrounded by people who care about it, both from internal to Microsoft, as well as other partners in the industry that are trying to do like-minded things. And that doesn't happen very often. So, you know, even for the introverts in the room, it's a great time to get out, start talking to some people, really understand what different companies are trying to do here, because this is a kind of a time when we can let our hair down and sort of say, we're working together to try to make customers have a better experience and do things that they could never do before. And that we can all share in regardless of what our relationships are in the corporate world outside and what kinds of things we're working on. And that's kind of what most of the people who are in here really care about, is serving customer needs and doing something that we couldn't do before. And with that, I'll turn it over to Michael. Thanks for all coming.